A bill that would increase access to medical cannabis in the state has been introduced by a Republican for the first time in Iowa history. This hour, the legality of medical marijuana in Iowa. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Joyce Russell. Democratic Senator Joe Bolcom and Republican Representative Clell Bodler join us to talk about a bill that would legalize the manufacture of cannabidiol within state lines. Also on the program, a father and Republican mayor whose daughter uses the oil to treat her epilepsy shares his story. Join our conversation after this news from NPR. It's River to River from the Law Library at the State Capitol. Good afternoon. I'm Joyce Russell. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be talking about medical marijuana, specifically a bill in the legislature that would clear the way for that. We have as our guests in this half hour Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City who was behind a comprehensive medical marijuana bill that passed the Iowa Senate last year. Hello, Senator Bolcom. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Then we have Representative Clell Bodler, a Republican from Greenfield. He is one of the leading critics of legalizing medical marijuana, one of the leading critics in the legislature. Representative Bodler, thanks for joining us today.
It's good to be here.
And then Steve Gehr is with us. He is a Republican. He's the mayor of West Des Moines, and he's a major medical cannabis advocate. His daughter has suffered from epilepsy. They have found success in treating her epilepsy with cannabis oil. So he's going to be with us for this half hour. Mayor Gehr, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to start, and if you have a story to tell about medical marijuana, we invite you to give us a call at 866-780-9100. So we're going to start by talking to Mr. Gehr about their family's experience. Tell us briefly about the medical condition that your daughter has and the years that you went without really effective treatment.
Sure. Margaret just turned 26 last Monday, and when she was 4 months old, she had her first grand mal seizure that lasted an hour and 6 minutes. In fact, when I got the emergency room, the doctor had told me, "Steve, we can't give your daughter any more medicine or we're going to stop her breathing, and I don't know if she's going to survive this." So from age 4 months on, we have searched every opportunity that we could to try to find treatment for Margaret. And when she was 9 months old, the head of neurology at the University of Iowa Hospital said, "Steve, we've got to get your daughter on some anti-seizure medications because she's not gonna survive. Her seizures are too many and they're too long." But he said, "I can promise you, once we start her on anti-seizure medications, her mental development is never going to be what it should be because of these drugs." And so Margaret's 26, but she's 4 or 5 years old mentally today. She's been on 16 different anti-seizure medications. She's had a surgery to implant a vagus nerve stimulator, and she has a specially trained service dog. Today, she's on 4 anti-seizure medications, one of which is not FDA approved. She's on 2 other medications to counteract the side effects of her 4 anti-seizure medications. We were fortunate enough to get her on a waiting list in 2003 for Charlotte's Web in Colorado, thinking that when we were eligible to receive it, we'd have to move to that state to treat Margaret, which we were prepared to do. In the spring of 2015, we received a call that we had gotten to the top of the waiting list and that they could start providing that medicine to us. And in fact, they said that we're comfortable mailing it to you. So this spring, we've gotten it, and I can tell you the results have been miraculous. For her, in the first 6 weeks, she slept through the night for the first time she ever slept through the night in 25 years. And I've told people, I said, "Can you imagine having a home where no one in your house slept through the night for 25 years? Another month later, her coordination drastically improved, and she started going to Courage League Sports in Urbandale to work out, and she's lost 30 pounds. Another month later, she came into my room one evening, sat on my bed, and uttered the first full sentence that she's ever said in her lifetime. So her communication skills have improved. And then in early November, Sally called me and said, "Steve, I'm looking at Margaret's October seizure calendars, and her seizures have been cut by 50%.
Okay. Well, so it's been the anti-seizure medication itself that has impeded your daughter's mental and physical development, right?
Yes.
And continued, as long as she's been on that, it's kept her back.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what is Charlotte's Web?
Cannabis oil that originally it was produced in Colorado, and a few years ago, the first big case that became public was Paige Figge's daughter, Charlotte Figge, and she was having 200 or 300 seizures a day, and they did a TED Talk where they revealed that now she was basically seizure-free or one or two seizures a day. That was the TED Talk that I sent to a number of legislators that I knew early in 2014 to said, please watch this. This is a medicine that we think can drastically help children with epilepsy, and that's what really got, I think, the conversation going on cannabis oil for seizures in early 2014.
So the cannabis oil that the 2014 law legalized, that's what you're now getting from illegalized the possession. We've all heard the stories of how actually acquiring it, getting across state lines has been prohibitive. You're now getting that through mail order. And is that essentially what that 2014 law would have legalized possession of?
Yes. I mean, Basically that law says if I have it in our possession and I have a card that nothing will happen to us in Iowa. So the challenge was always, how are we going to get it back here? I think it's very unusual that it's getting mailed. We appreciate that. But when we researched it prior to this, the only state we could buy it in as a non-resident was Oregon. And I have the financial resources to go out there, but ask yourself, how am I going to get 32 ounces of cannabis oil back from Oregon to Iowa 3 or 4 times a year? Plus, they couldn't guarantee us that they could produce it with the same consistency every time, so no one wants to put people on medicine that's not the same consistency. So when Realm of Caring got a hold of us and said Charlotte's Web's available, Sally and I fully believed that Sally would need to move to Colorado with Margaret to try it. And then they said, a month later, they said, we're comfortable under federal law that we can mail this. And they started mailing it to us.
Is that kind of a, you say they think it's legal under federal law. Is that kind of questionable?
Yes, okay. It is questionable. Yeah, it's questionable. And, to their credit, their other argument is they said, we know this medicine helps people, and morally we want to get it to them.
And you do know people who have moved to Colorado, right?
Yes.
Other friends with epilepsy.
Yes, okay. Yes, and families from Iowa.
Families from Iowa, okay. Well, the bill that passed the Iowa Senate last year and was introduced in the Iowa House before it was scaled way back would have been a full-fledged medical marijuana production and distribution system for the state of Iowa. We'll talk about how drastically that's gotten scaled back. But Senator Bolka, maybe you could just briefly describe what your Senate bill would have done and the bill that was initially introduced in the Commerce Committee in the House.
I'd be happy to. The Senate last year passed a comprehensive bill modeled really after the 23 states that are ahead of us in this area. Nearly 150 million Americans today have access to cannabis as medicine. And so the Senate bill looked at the conditions that most states covered, and we put those into the bill. We decided, like the 23 other states, that if you're going to have safe legal access to cannabis, you actually have to produce it in the state. So the Senate bill allowed for 4 licenses for producers to apply to the State Department of Public Health, allowed for 12 dispensaries where patients could actually get the medicine, and it established a medical advisory board made up of medical professionals that would monitor the effectiveness of the program and hear from patients in the future about adding additional conditions should that be warranted. And so the Senate passed that bill on a 26-24 vote. Senator Brad Zahn from Urbandale joined all the Democrats but one to basically just barely put that bill over the line, and that bill went to the House last year, and they chose not to take it up. So far this session in the House Commerce Committee, there's been a bill that was introduced that was a fairly comprehensive approach, but before the bill came out of committee, it was fairly dramatically amended to only include 3 conditions, and it only allows for cannabidiol oil, which is similar to the 2014 bill that we passed. Cannabidiol is effective with epilepsy, And the other two conditions were MS and cancer if you had a year to live. The medicine prescribed in the House bill won't give much aid to people with MS or people suffering from chemo drugs, for example. So and they removed the medical advisory committee. If people want to add conditions in the future, they'll have to come back and beg the legislature to do that. The good news in the House is it's the first time we've seen an elected state Republican in the legislature actually propose a piece of legislation. So that is a bit of a breakthrough.
And that was Representative Peter County. And Mr. Gary, he's actually your state senator, right?
He's my state representative, yes.
State representative,
yes.
Sorry. And
yes.
There are other. I understand there are other Republicans in the House that are friends of yours and that have sort of been on your side all along on this, right?
They have been, yes.
Before we talk about some of the disappointment of that bill getting scaled back, I'd like for you, Representative Bodler, to tell us why there's so much Republican opposition to this and why you've made very clear that you will not, and you've even said never will, sign on to a medical marijuana bill of the sort that Senator Bolcom just described. Why not?
Joyce, I think you should look back at 2014. I run that bill through my committee.
2014 was the limited cannabis oil bill.
As far as I'm concerned, I think Joel even concur with it, wouldn't have passed without my support. Okay, now, fast forward. We have a bill, House Study Bill 607, I believe is what it started out to be. And now after it come out of committee, it's House File 2384. It allows for three different diseases or conditions where you could get cannabidiol. Cannabidiol is available in Iowa now. Steve just talked about it, CW Botanicals, Bluebird out of Oregon, and Realm of Caring, I think they're kind of the same as CW, is shipping it in. Now, we can argue all day long, and I won't go there, about federal law. This could all change real quick. I think what I am concerned about is going back a few years when California had medical marijuana. I went out there, $45, my Iowa driver's license, and told this so-called doctor, who's nothing more than a drug pusher, in my opinion, that really had a problem with English because we had a hard time conversing. I got a prescription for medical marijuana for hemorrhoids because I couldn't think of anything stupider. And right now, the bill before us, House File 2384, has three conditions. I'm already getting emails, et cetera, et cetera. They want to expand that. Including pain. Okay, I called Colorado, the governor's office, his Office of Drug Control Policy, and a major on the state patrol out there. I think something like 90%, 92% of the medical marijuana prescriptions or conditions they have relate to pain. We sure don't want to go there before the clinical studies are done. And if you look at Epidiolex, the people at the University of Iowa are talking that it'll be available in drugstores or pharmacies as early as 2017. I think we should wait until the Colorado experiment is complete. Because when I talk to people out there, and I'm talking to law enforcement people, the burdens on the schools, on law enforcement, on public safety, health providers, and neighboring states are huge. We shouldn't rush into something, even though we have anecdotal evidence at this time that it helps in certain conditions. And I know these kids. I know Steve's daughter, you know. The Novi twins and Quincy. It's hard to say we have to wait till clinical studies are done.
And yet you're saying that.
Yes.
And so you seem to be especially concerned about prescribing this for pain. And yet the House bill, as it's been scaled back anyway, would not include that. It would only include multiple sclerosis and cancer. And in fact, the way it's been scaled back, it appears that it wouldn't even be effective for that. But you've told me that even if you had a bill that only covered those three, didn't cover pain, you still wouldn't approve it.
Well, we have a bill before us that went from four grow operations down to two. How big are they? Are they 400,000 square feet or 40,000 square feet? Why two? When they tell me Minnesota, their law, they can't make it cash flow, if you want to call it cash flow. They have to add more diseases or more situations where we get more people in to use it, to keep it to cash flow. It looks like it's the nose of the camel under the tent, and it's going to walk all the way through. And if you just look at the Iowa Department of Public Health, the iSmart data from 2014, kids, young people, 12 to 18, alcohol, referred to treatment for alcohol, 1,316, methamphetamine, 313, marijuana / hashish, guess what? 3,578. And so when you look down the road, Joyce, look at the big picture.
I think that Senator Bolkin may have some contrasting research there about whether this really leads to drug abuse.
Yeah, well, let's just say, I mean, Representative Bodler's whole career, he's spent fighting the war on drugs, and that's his perspective he brings here today. And I appreciate and respect his view, but it seems like Iowans should have compassionate access to cannabis. We've met hundreds and hundreds of families, and you've heard the Gare story today, that could be helped if they had access. And I just don't know the state's interest at this point in either encouraging people to continue to suffer in silence, continue to use safe but ineffective and expensive drugs that they're prescribed. We know people that are illegally obtaining cannabis today to treat their medical conditions, and we've heard of folks that have actually had to leave the state. It's time for us to pass a law that will help these suffering Iowans. And the law before us in the House now, Representative Bodler noted the bill in 2014 that we both worked on, and we worked together on it, but I think we'd both agree that it didn't work, didn't help people. Only today we have about 59 families, 59 patients in the state that have actually gone through the process of getting a medical cannabis card from the Department of Transportation, Department of Public Health. There are thousands of people suffering with epilepsy in our state that might be advantaged if we had easier access, lower cost access. You have to be a person of means to get under the current law to get your medicine.
Here's a number to call if you want to join our conversation. It's 866-780-9100. Also, you can reach us on our Facebook page, tweet us at IPR Talk, or email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Steve is on the line and has a question for Representative Bodler. Steve, are you with us?
Hi, my name is Steve Jennison. I'm a graduate of the University of Iowa Medical School. I was the first medical director of the New Mexico Medical Cannabis Program, and I'm now the chair of the Medical Advisory Board to the New Mexico Medical Cannabis Program. I think that it's important when a state like Iowa considers the possibility of an expanded medical cannabis program to talk more about the states after which you would model yourself. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that Iowa would model itself after the state of California, but would rather perhaps model itself after states with more highly regulated programs like New Mexico, where, in fact, our program was implemented in 2007, now has very broad-based bipartisan support, no talk about getting rid of it. So that's my first point. My second is that there are very good studies now that indicate that the implementation of medical cannabis programs is not in any way associated with increased youth cannabis use.
Representative Butler, did you you said you went to California to test this out.
Correct.
Did you go to the wrong state?
Maybe, but I got grandkids and a daughter-in-law and a son out in California, so made it a trip. I didn't go out there just for that.
But our caller seems to be making the point that maybe it's easy to get medical marijuana in California, but other states are regulating it much more stringently, and Iowa could model itself on that.
If he wants to pay for my plane ticket, I'll go down and try hemorrhoids in New Mexico.
Didn't you get in trouble doing that?
They tried.
Okay.
I've been in a lot more trouble in my career. And quite frankly, Joe just said that, you know, we didn't help anybody in 2014. Steve just said that he's getting it, Charlotte's Web, for Margaret in the mail. So I think it's made a big difference. I know the Novi girls are getting it, and I think Quincy's getting it too. So we made a difference, you know. But if they're gonna start a grow operation here, they're gonna have to have a lot more diseases or people coming in to make it pay.
We're going to talk about that in the second half hour because I think there's some agreement there that if you're only producing it for a limited condition, then it's not going to work. You're not going to find somebody come in who would come in and be willing to do that. But before Mr. Gare leaves, I want to let him clarify the way the bill has been scaled back in the House. Will it do anything? I mean, you're getting this drug by mail order. Would more families be able to get it than are currently getting it by mail order if this very limited bill got scaled back?
Well, as long as it was sufficient enough to allow the growing to occur in Iowa. I mean, that's our goal, is to have this medicine produced in Iowa so we know who's growing it, how it's processed, and we know it's available to us. 2 weekends ago, we got a notice from the provider of Charlotte's Web that they were out and they weren't sure they were going to be able to fulfill our renewal, which obviously concerns us greatly. So it's an unreliable source. There's very few people that are getting it. We were on a waiting list for over 2 years before we were able to get it. And so our desire is to have this medicine grown and produced in Iowa so we know how it's made and we know that it's always going to be available. Before I go, too, I would like to just touch on the issue of FDA trials. I hear that a lot from people, that we just can't make this available until the FDA approves it. Margaret is receiving a medication called stiropentol that is still not FDA approved. The interesting thing about this medicine is when we originally started to receive it, the insurance company raised issues about it because it wasn't FDA approved. That was one of the medicines that we appealed through the Iowa Insurance Commissioner's office that went to a review agency in Denver. They came back and said that it's medically necessary, so we're getting it, but it's still not approved by the FDA. So the FDA approval shouldn't stop people from getting cannabis oil.
Okay, we'll be back in the second half hour. It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Joyce Russell. We're live from the Law Library at the Iowa State Capitol, and we're talking this hour about medical marijuana. If you have a question or comment, the number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also reach us on our Facebook page, tweet us at IPR Talk, or email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Senator Joe Bochum and Representative Clell Bodler are staying with us for the next half hour. We're on the line. We have Steve Lucan, who's director of the Governor's Office for Drug Control Policy. Hello, Mr. Lucan. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, good. We're going to we'll talk to you in a bit, Mr. Lucan, but we're going to go to some callers now. We have Craig on the line from Newton, and his wife has a condition that would have been covered by the bill that was initially introduced in the House. Craig, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, tell us your story.
Well, my name is Craig Miller. I actually live in West Des Moines, Iowa. My wife has a genetic disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and it's an extremely painful disease. It's a connective tissue disorder. She can dislocate, sublux her joints very easily. Her tissues are very soft. They can tear. It's a pretty crappy existence for her right now. And one of the biggest reasons is the medications they have her on are just tearing her up. She's been on about every kind of opiate that you can imagine. And all they do is they don't work. They don't help manage your pain, and they just cause more problems. Gastrointestinal issues, cognitive problems. She calls it brain fog. She can't get out sentences very well. So these are the medications that the doctors are prescribing her. And we have had more than one doctor tell us they wish cannabis was available to us. She goes to a medical conference every year for the Ehlers-Danlos National Foundation. And every year we see more and more of these patients that are getting help from it. And my question is, why not my wife? There's no reason for it. It can benefit her. And I'm wondering why legislators think that they can, decide more so than a doctor. We need to have a program that doctors and pharmacists and the law enforcement at can run, and it should be their say-so. How can they tell certain people with certain diseases that it's okay for them, but yet something that could possibly benefit my wife and that we know can benefit my wife? Why not her?
We're going to address that question to Steve Lucan, but just a quick follow-up question then, Craig. You've just heard or seen this work for other people, but you've never had a chance to try that? Your wife has never had a chance to try cannabis oil, or is that something you don't feel comfortable talking about?
No, we've tried cannabis oil. The problem is what a lot of these legislatures don't understand. There are many different strains that work for many different disabilities. They're so targeted on just the cannabidiol oil. They can't be like that. The different strains for cancer patients, for MS. I lost my father-in-law to Alzheimer's. There's different strains that could have possibly helped that. So that's what they're not getting. They're too locked on to just one single thing that it can help a very small group, which it's great it's helping them. But there's so much more that can be done for these people.
Well, thank you for your call, Craig. And Mr. Lucan, we're going to invite you to join us now. Steve Lucan, the head of the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy. Mr. Lucan, why not Craig's wife?
Well, absolutely, I think all Iowans are going to feel for Craig and his story and stories like them. But these are very challenging questions to answer. What we really support in our office is research, is trying to find out what is safe, what is effective. There's a lot of counter arguments against some of these people that make claims that they do support and do help their conditions. There is a lot of research building, for example, that it can be actually harmful for people with PTSD. It can be harmful for people with schizophrenia, that it can actually make some of those situations worse. There's a lot of the medical community that is still really wants to see research done. The American Academy of Pediatrics, for example, currently opposes medical marijuana for children and adolescents. But there's a lot of things I don't think the general public knows about that our office has tried to push for and others have, lawmakers have. We have tried to push more research because we want answers. We want solid medications. There's actually currently, my understanding, there's 265 researchers currently DEA approved to be doing research for cannabis-based products, to be doing research into the medical benefits, potential medical benefits, but it doesn't always work out that way. My understanding, too, that there was a potential drug to help treat cancer pain called Sativex that we have actually in our office have tried to really encourage FDA research into and try to get a drug onto the market so that it is safe, it is effective, it's covered by insurance. That actually failed the clinical trial process, and they are working to go back and maybe take another run at that. But there's a lot of unanswered questions out there, and I think that what we really try to stress is making sure we are doing proper research, we are putting proper medicines out, because there's a lot of things out there already that are very challenging for youth and challenging for other people who really shouldn't have access to certain drugs that makes their situations worse. And we just want to make sure we're making the decisions in the best interest of the health and welfare of everyone.
Senator Bulkham, why not more research?
There's been plenty of research done already, and there's plenty of documented clinical studies that show cannabis is actually an effective medicine to treat a whole variety of chronic debilitating conditions that don't respond well to other treatments. It's time to move beyond this. All Iowans feel for the Millers. I've met the Millers. They have a horrible medical condition they're dealing with. Condition that they have was added to the Senate bill, it's time to start listening to Iowans. There's plenty of research. Nobody's against research, but people know today they can be helped. They want action today instead of just more delay in this notion that we've got to wait for the federal government and the FDA. People are taking drugs right now for some of these really tough conditions that aren't FDA approved. And I would just note there's plenty of FDA approved drugs that do great harm to people. So it really isn't a panacea when we talk about that. And then I just say on the issue of concern about gateway drugs and the like, is tobacco remains the biggest gateway drug that our kids have access to. And it'd be great to have the Drug Czar's office more involved with trying to get kids from starting smoking and try and get a healthier youth population through tobacco. But I would note when Mr. Lucan was in the legislature, he voted against raising the tax on tobacco, which was the biggest way to get kids from stopping or starting in the first place. And he also opposed smoke-free bars and restaurants. I wish we had his attention and his office's attention on the issue of tobacco. It kills 5,000 Iowans a year.
Mr. Lucan, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I would just say, you know, that there's maybe some misinformation in those statements. Our office, we do work with the Tobacco Commission, and we have been supportive of prevention programs that help young people avoid smoking. Certainly cigarettes are a huge challenge, absolutely agree with that. But I think you need to look at the big picture here, too, that we do have states that have allowed for medical marijuana laws. We do see a large increase. There's a lot of documentation that says you have, unfortunately, more young people experimenting with that drug. And that's, unfortunately, I think that's part of the debate. And where this really gets tricky is there are people who are genuinely concerned, want to help people, but there is also, I think, the backstory to that is this is intertwined with the overall legalization efforts, and it has been very difficult to control in states that have gone down that road. And it is a serious drug for our young people, just like cigarettes are. And to that point, you know, I would tell you it's very difficult. I think the state of Iowa has strong laws. We try hard to enforce those laws, but young people, unfortunately, still get their hands on cigarettes. They shouldn't be, but it is really difficult when you legalize things. Anything that's legal, it makes it very difficult to patrol that and to keep it out of the hands of people who probably shouldn't have it.
We're going to take a call now from Rachel. This is kind of a coincidence. She's from Denver, Iowa, but she lives in Colorado now, and she has a daughter who's on cannabis. Hello, Rachel. What's your comment?
Hi. My daughter's actually been on the oil for almost 2.5 years now, and we've seen tremendous growth in her. Ironically, right now I'm here to pick her up from school. She's only 3.5 years old, but she's thriving in that environment. And I just get really offended when there's a black cloud painted over the state of Colorado when I live here, and you have to look for the drug abuse. And I'm sure there is abuse, but just like with prescription drugs, those are abused, but we don't completely nix them from ever being used. There's a place for it, there's a purpose for it, and well regulated. Along with that, also, when you have high schoolers abusing drugs, or you have other people abusing drugs, Steve Lucan's point says you're more concerned about the individuals that are making reckless behaviors than about the individuals like Craig's wife or about my daughter that need the access to it. And that's something that I just am very firm in, getting access to those that need it. Also, different strains is so important. If we were in Iowa, we could get Charlotte's Web, given my daughter's condition, but at the same time, we've used different strains at different times. And right now, ironically, she's on a THC patch that has reduced her seizures even more, which has been huge for her cognitive abilities and her functioning. And without the oil, there's no doubt she wouldn't be alive. And as hard as that is to hear legislators say we care, or drug czars say we care, that's great to sympathize, but when it's your child, when it's your loved one, when it's your spouse, care is one thing, compassion is one thing, but actually acting on it and doing something is a world of difference when we're looking at life and death and quality of life.
Yeah, and you're making a point that Mr. Gehr made, which is they're now getting a form of cannabis by mail order, but it's not always available, and actually producing it in Iowa would make more effective of versions of it available.
Yes,
so, Rachel, thank you very much for your call. Did you move to Colorado even before they passed the limited cannabis law here 2 years ago?
Actually, yeah. We were one of the first 50 family refugees to move to Colorado, and Maggie wouldn't have been alive by the time the Iowa bill passed. So, yeah, we didn't have time to sit around and wait for other legislation.
Rachel, thank you very much for your call. Representative Bodler, do you think that there's still really a political risk for Republican or Democrat to vote for this? I mean, your party is resisting this. But do you think, I mean, there's indication that public opinion is coming around on this. Is it really a political risk for someone in your party to support this?
I think a lot of us look at it as a slippery slope. Okay, 2 years ago, we passed a law. Could be tweaked a little bit, in my opinion, but we passed a law, and now we're increasing the cancer and MS on this, same thing. And we keep increasing until we're going to be like Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska. You let the genie out of the bottle too far, and it's hard to put him back. So it's a slippery slope if we don't wait for the science, the Colorado experiment, if you will, to see how bad it can get before it gets better. And I look back several years, go back to the Vietnam War, where this legislative body that we're in right now, they passed a law that if you're old enough to fight, you're old enough to drink. And they made it 18, not thinking that a lot of seniors in high school are 18. So I know a bunch of seniors turned 18 to walk down to the local tavern, have a cheeseburger, 2-3 beers, and walk back to school. I went to one house 3 times, tell the mother their son, their daughter, their son was dead. And guess what? None of them had seen the outside of none of them had seen the Rocky Mountains, let alone Vietnam. And then the legislature passed it to 18 or to 19, and then they passed it back to 21. So there's ramifications of what we do, and we have to be very careful moving forward. We made a big step in 2014, and for people to tell me it's not available or it hasn't helped everybody, I think they should look at what's going on in other states and slow down until the research and the clinical studies are done.
Senator Bolcom, I have a chart in front of me. We just have not very much time left. I have a chart in front of me with the various cannabinoids and the various conditions. So it's, you know, cannabis is not just one thing. It's various forms, and various forms of it are effective for various conditions. Are all of these on this chart, can you get high on any of them?
Senate bill suggested that we should have access to the full plant and the various strains of the plant because we know that, for example, if you're getting cancer treatment and having chemotherapy drugs and you're nauseous, part of the plant with actually THC in it helps control your nauseousness. And so I think we want to have full access to the plant. You've heard from a couple of the callers this morning about that, about the need to do that. On the issue of youth access in medical cannabis states, CDC study indicates there's been no increase in youth access to cannabis in those states. I'd also note that we've seen great concern about opiate overdoses. Nearly 20,000 people die a year from opiate overdoses. In medical cannabis states, we've seen about a 25% reduction in overdoses from opiates because people have access to safer medicine. And finally, I just add, it's time to stop with the excuses. We've heard from hundreds and hundreds of families, responsible tax-paying Iowans that suffer from debilitating conditions, have doctored with the best, have taken the most powerful, expensive drugs, and they are not being helped. It's time to quit saying, well, we hear that you're suffering, and begin to do something about it. And it's quite a challenge in the Iowa House. The Speaker, Representative Utmeyer, has pretty much said she's not going to bring a vote allow a vote in the House caucus. So I'd encourage listeners on listening today is we have an election this fall, and it's likely we're not going to get a bill this session. I hope we do. I'm going to work till the end. But I'd encourage you to talk to your candidates and your elected officials this fall to make sure we can get their support for a comprehensive, compassionate bill.
Mr. Lucan, how long would it be realistic to expect the FDA to fix this?
Well, I want to say that from what we understand, there are no promises out there. It is very difficult, and it should be difficult, to get the FDA to be on record, but a lot of indications say that there may be a drug approved that can be picked up at a normal pharmacy that insurance should cover that can actually then be prescribed for multiple conditions in the later half or mid-2017. So I think there is a lot happening that the general public isn't totally aware of on that topic. The other thing I would also share, there is a lot of people that throw back and forth studies and research. The CDC study, I think, that the senator just talked about, like many studies, you have to look at how it's put together. We see numbers that show both Colorado and Washington State, two states that have a lot of marijuana, medical marijuana dispensaries and legalized marijuana. Those are the second and third highest youth usage rates in the country. And, last but not least, I think that there is a lot of people out there who are very frustrated on this topic. I totally understand that. I think that people are tired of the government waiting to approve things. There's a big movement about, marijuana for the people, by the people. But there is a flip side to that coin. There are people that talk about their children and their children suffering. I'm a parent. I'm a father. I've got a young child. I got a young child on the way. I see what's happened in some of these other states, and there are related problems for youth, and that's what I think we all have to take into account. There are increased episodes of kids going to the ER because they get their hands on medical marijuana. There are increased incidents of traffic accidents. Here in Iowa, last year alone, we had over 400 incidents with marijuana contributing to a drugged driving event. So we want to make sure we're doing things to keep all Iowans safe. And that's a tall challenge. Lawmakers have to work hard. Everyone does. It's a challenging situation.
Senator Bolcom, did you want to respond to that briefly?
Thanks, George. I don't think there's any legitimate state purpose to continue to have Iowans suffer in pain when we know that cannabis could help them. I think comparing Washington and Colorado, where you have legal recreational use, to the other medical cannabis states, no one's proposing in Iowa that we have an all-out recreational program. This is a very restricted, controlled, responsible framework that's been presented that can help the hundreds and hundreds of Iowans we've heard from. And it's time to quit with the excuses and move ahead.
Representative Botter?
Thank you, Joyce. Just a note. We passed a bill in 2014. We only have 59 people signed up, and the argument back then was the same. Hundreds and hundreds of people that we could help. We're only helping 59 legally. Now, it's time to look at this realistically. The senator here blames the House Republicans. Well, the Senate only passed this bill by one vote or two votes, so they don't have too good of a record over there either. And if the Senate turns over to be more Republican than Democrat, guess what? Probably won't happen.
Thank you very much, both of you, Senator Volcom and Representative Bodler. River to River is produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production help today from John Pimble. I'm Joyce Russell. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thank you.